Well, welcome. Glad you're here. We're going to continue our study in the book of Romans. So if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 16, we're at the last chapter of the book of Romans. Paul's parting words, commendations, greetings, a caution here or there, a summation. We'll look at all those over the next few weeks. Would you stand with me, please, as we read God's Word? Romans 16, verse 1. I commend to you our sister, Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchreae, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. Greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampletus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Greet Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We're here because of you. We thank you for the grace and the mercy that you've given us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for each other here too. Thank you that we can meet freely together, study your word, and grow. And I ask, Father, that you would teach us. Your spirit would convict us of our sins, show us the adjustments we need to make. And Father, let us follow you wholeheartedly, obediently, and listen to what you have to say to us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever wondered how people may remember you when you're gone? You know what an epitaph is? So there's words, a little phrase, or a verse maybe on a headstone or a tombstone and a grave. We don't see a whole lot of them anymore. Some of them are kind of funny, all dressed up and no place to go. Or, I told you I was sick. Things like that. But a lot of them are in loving memory. Words of a beloved person. Things that they remember about them, their reputation, what kind of person they were. So here at the end of the book of Romans, Paul greets 27 people. And I practice every 27 name, I practice that. So I don't know if it's right the way I'm pronouncing it, but that's the way we're going with it, okay? We're just going to run with that pronunciation. 27 people that he remembers in the city of Rome, at the church of Rome. And most of them, he says something about them. He remembers something about them. So I think we can just take a few minutes here this morning and look at these people and their reputations, and maybe we can learn from them as well. So let's look at verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. It is Phoebe. I thought it was Phoebe, but it's Phoebe. T-O-E is toe, right? Anyway, go figure. Me in English. Phoebe is her name, and Paul commends her to the church at Rome. Why? First, she's a sister. Our sister, Phoebe. She's a sister in Christ. She's part of the family, and he's commending her to the church. Most likely, in context, because she's the one who will be carrying this letter to them. Can you imagine? I mean, that's a huge responsibility. Paul, divinely inspired by God, the very words of God being penned on paper, papyrus or something in between. And you're going to give it to somebody, here, take this, hundreds of miles away to the city of Rome. I commend to you Phoebe. Evidently, she was trustworthy. You don't hand over the only copy of God's word to somebody you don't trust. So Phoebe, we can gather, is trustworthy. A sister in Christ, trustworthy, and what else? Who is a servant? A servant. The Greek word there is diakonos. Guess what word we get that from that word? Deacon. Wow. Actually, the word is translated servant. Literally, it just means servant. It's used in John chapter 2 to speak of a servant girl. It's used by Paul in Romans 13 of secular government officials being servants. Used in Romans 15 to refer to Christ. And in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 3, it refers to the official church office of deacon. So which one is it? You know, it doesn't really matter. You can look at 1 Timothy 3:11 and you can make an argument that there should be women deacons. That's fine. You can look at plurality of elders. But our text doesn't talk about church government this morning. We can do that another time. The point is that she was a servant. Whether she was in some official capacity of the church or whether she was unofficial, the point is she served the church. She's a sister. She's trustworthy. I'm going to send the divine, inspired very words of God in her hands hundreds of miles away to the church at Rome. I commend to you Phoebe. She's a servant. She served the church. Church which is at Cenchreae. Cenchreae is another port city next to Corinth, near Corinth. It was most likely a sister church, a church plant from Corinth. Paul is in Corinth at this point as the letter is being written. Phoebe, trustworthy, served the church. What else? Verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. Why? For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. She's a helper, trustworthy, servant, served the church, helped many others, and helped Paul himself. The words of remembrance for Phoebe, her reputation. What can we learn from Phoebe? Do we invest in the church? Do we invest in others? Are we trustworthy? Phoebe, trustworthy sister in Christ. What else? Verse 3. Greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also, greet the church that is in their home. There's three things there. First, they're workers. Again, workers in the church, not watchers. It's not a spectator sport, is it? Participated, fellow worker. They risked their lives for Paul. What does that tell us? Courageous. Selfless. This couple wasn't selfish. They didn't go to church for what's in it for them. They were workers. And they even risked their own lives for another brother in Christ. That's commendable, isn't it? And the church meets in their home. They're hospitable. They were leaders. Church met in their home. What else do we know about this couple? They're mentioned six other times in Scripture. Prissa is short for Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila. They were married to each other. They were a couple. And they were originally from Rome. Then in AD 49, Emperor Claudius got kind of fed up with the Jews, all of them, traditional Jews and Christian Jews. They weren't getting along very well in Rome, and he kicked them all out in AD 49. So Priscilla and Aquila, they left. They went to Corinth. They moved to Corinth. And Paul, on his missionary journey, his first trip to Corinth, he met them. He stayed in their house. He hung out with them. They were hospitable. In fact, we learned that they were actually tent makers themselves, and Paul was a tent maker. So they got along. They became friends, and they were fellow servants and workers in the kingdom of Christ to build the kingdom. Later, in order to continue ministering to others, they moved to Ephesus, where they met a young little whippersnapper guy named Apollos. And he was preaching and teaching. I want to quote this and get it right. In Acts 18:26, they take him and they start discipling him and teaching him. And they actually, this is what Scripture says in 18:26 of Acts. They explain to him the way of God more accurately. I love that. They were disciples makers. They took people alongside and they taught them Scripture. And they looked into Scripture and they taught the way of God more accurately. And Emperor Claudius died in Rome, and that's where they were originally from, so they moved back to Rome. And now Paul, they're good friends, they know each other, and he commends them and greets them as they're back in Rome, in their hometown. And what are they doing? Just retired, sitting back? Nope. They're serving the church as well. Church is meeting in their house. It's grown a bit since they left. They're hospitable. Workers, not watchers. Courageous, selfless, hospitable. What about us? We workers just like to sit around and talk about it. Are we courageous? Are we selfless? What do we sacrifice for the kingdom of God? It's a huge question, isn't it? Everybody, all of us, need to ask ourselves that question. Am I hospitable? Am I investing in others? Am I a disciple maker? I know some of you are now reaching out to others. And hey, let's meet, let's talk. I want to encourage you, edify you. I heard of another man doing that just this morning. That's awesome. We need to do more of that. Like Priscilla and Aquila did to Apollos. Disciple makers. Verse 5 also says, greet Epaphroditus. Take your pick. Epaphroditus, what do we know about him? My beloved. Paul loves this guy. Whatever he does, Paul loves him. My beloved. There's something unique about this guy. What is it? Who is the first convert to Christ from Asia? Imagine that title, huh? Literally, it means first fruit. Paul saw this guy come to Christ, discipled this guy. And now he's engaged in ministry, and he's in Rome serving the church, serving others. And Paul loves him, my beloved. Can you imagine that? If you've led someone to the Lord, there's just that special bond, man. And you love and you care for that person. And Paul loved Epaphroditus. Verse 6, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. That's it. Greet Mary. Which Mary? There's lots of Marys. Most of the ones we know are in Jerusalem or thereabouts. This most likely is not any of those. This Mary's in Rome. And all that's said of her is she's a hard worker. Literally, the Greek word there is to toil until exhausted. That's hard work, isn't it? That's huge. Here's a woman who has served others and served the church, and her reputation precedes her. Somehow Paul knows about this lady who sacrificially has worked hard. We have some folks like that here. We're blessed with people like that here who toil until they're exhausted. How hard do we work for the kingdom? Verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Man, there's a whole bunch in here about these guys. First are Paul's kinsmen. Means they're Jewish. They're his fellow Jews. What else? Fellow prisoners. Guys are in prison. Could have been one of many places that Paul was in prison for the sake of Christ because of his faith. In Christ before Paul. They got saved before Paul got saved. Maybe these guys were part of the early church in Jerusalem. Maybe they were part of the group that Paul used to persecute. Maybe Paul put them in prison. Maybe. They were in prison for their faith. We know that. And there's one more thing. One reputation they have, who are outstanding. Who are outstanding. Literally, the word means remarkable. Here's two guys. They've demonstrated their faith, their love for Christ. They've been put in prison because of it. They've been faithful. They've been saved a lot longer than I have. And these guys are outstanding, remarkable guys. What a reputation to have. How about that on your tombstone? Remarkable, outstanding. Wow. I'm afraid, and I even get frustrated. There's too many Christians that are content with average, mediocre work for Christ. That stuff just gets to me when we work half-heartedly or we're just content with just doing whatever it takes to get by, just enough to get by. If anybody lives remarkably or outstandingly, it should be us. No matter where we are, whatever your job is, whatever you do all day, whatever you put your hand to, we should have the reputation of being outstanding. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul tells that church to excel still the more. You're doing great, he tells them. Of loving one another, I don't got anything to tell you. You know it. You're doing it. Your reputation is you're doing it. You're faithful in the face of persecution. You're loving to one another. And what does he tell them? Pat yourself on the back, take a break. Put it in cruise. He says, excel still the more. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be outstanding in whatever God has us to do. Everything. Remarkable. Quite a reputation. Verse 8. Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. He's beloved. Paul loves him. We don't know anything else about him. Ampliatus. Verse 9. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. He's a fellow worker. Man, if nothing else said of us, at least we can be called fellow workers, part of the team, team players. You know? Because there's a whole lot of people that are still spectating. Urbanus, fellow worker. Man, at least that. When I get to heaven, at least if I can get well done, good and faithful servant. Or, hey, at least you're in there swinging, buddy. How about the next guy in verse 9? Stachys. I'm sure that's the way you pronounce it. I got every confident, didn't I? Stachys. What does it say about Stachys? Stachys, he's my beloved as well. I like this guy. You know why? You know what his name, even though I can't pronounce it, you know what his name means? Literally, in the Greek, it means ear of corn. I love this guy. It's got to be a nickname, right? Paul must have knew this guy, was friends with this guy. I don't know whether he was tall, skinny, yellow. I don't know what it was. Ear. My old buddy, old pal, ear of corn, I love you, man. Goober says, hey. He's a fellow worker, though. Part of the team. My beloved family of Christ. We can learn something. Reputations. What do people say about us? I don't want to hear the nicknames you got for me, okay? It's kind of scary. Where are we? Verse 10. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Approved literally means tried, tested, and approved. Guy's been through something. Whatever he's been through, he passed the test. Whatever God allowed to come his way, he persevered. Passed the test. Didn't wimp out. Proved himself to the Apostle Paul to the point where he's, in the very words of God, he says, greet this guy. He's the approved. Definite article, the. I don't know what this guy went through, but he was the approved. He hung in there. Persevered. Persisted. Verse 11. Well, we're not done with verse 10 yet, are we? Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. The whole household. We don't know anything about them. Maybe it was a church meeting there. Maybe they're all saved. Paul's greeting them. Verse 11. Stay with me now. 27 people here. Greet Herodian, my kinsman, a fellow Jew. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. We'll greet those guys, that household, at least the ones that are in the Lord, the believers in that household. So whoever this household was, they're not all saved. We have households like that, don't we? Tough stuff. It's extra burden when you know a family member is not saved, isn't it? We need to pray for those households. Verse 12. Tryphena and Tryphosa. They've got to be twins. Don't you think? Tryphena, Tryphosa. If it was triplets, it'd be a trifecta, right? My lame attempt at humor. Literally, their names mean delicate and dainty. Interesting, isn't it? A lot of commentators think they were young women. What does it say? Workers in the Lord. Fellow sisters in Christ, rolling up their sleeves, regardless of how delicate or dainty they were, or young they were in the faith. They were workers. That's commendable. In the same verse, greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Past tense. Notice the past tense. Most likely this was an elderly woman who had been working a long time for the Lord, for the kingdom. And even though most of her work was in the past, Paul still commends her, still remembers. Her reputation still precedes her, and he honors her. So should we. I find it interesting that Paul talks about this, possibly these young women, in the same breath as this elderly woman who worked, past tense. I think that's the way he wants it. It's the way churches are supposed to work. And of course, if we read Titus chapter 2, it is. The elderly women, the women who have worked for so long, will mentor, will disciple, teach the younger women. It's good stuff. Makes for strong churches and strong believers in Christ. Verse 13, greet Rufus. I can pronounce that one. Greet Rufus. In fact, the name is Latin in origin. And you know what it means? Red. Big red. Gotta love this guy too. After all the fancy Greek names, we get ear of corn and big red. Red. I'm sure he's from southern Rome. My kind of guy. Just big red. Rufus. But look what's said about Rufus. A choice man. Man. The Apostle Paul calls this guy a choice man. He's a top quality guy. Top notch, grade A kind of guy. Literally, it means pick of the litter. The preferred choice, the chosen one, the pick of the litter. Oh, man, how I want my reputation to be like that. Got a long way to go, don't we? For someone to remember us, oh, I remember them. They were a choice person, a man or woman. Remarkable, outstanding woman of God, man of God. We've had some come and go through this church, I know, from the little bit of time I've been here. And you can remember those guys. Choice men and women. That's their reputation. Man, one word. You go to work or in your family or in your neighborhood or even here amongst us, one word to describe you, what would it be? Ouch. Would it be choice? Remarkable. God grabbed you with one word, knowing all your secrets. Wow, it's getting kind of personal, isn't it? Choice. Outstanding. Let that be our goal. He had a good mom, too. Look at this. Verse 13. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Wasn't biologically Paul's mother, but she evidently had the reputation of being giving and caring. And at some point, probably acted like a mother, giving and caring. Red had a good mom. He had a good dad, too. His dad's not listed here, is it? Most likely his dad's dead. We read in Mark chapter 15, verse 21, that his dad was Simon. Remember Simon, the guy who carried the cross for Christ? Famous guy. You do that, people get to know your name. Simon. Good dad, good mom. Had a good son. Choice. Verse 14. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Most likely another small group meeting in someone's home throughout the week, church at Rome. Verse 15, greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Another small group, maybe? Small little group, part of the big church at Rome, meeting in someone's house. Greetings. 27 people Paul recognizes, greets, and he remembers their reputation. What about us? Man, what are they going to remember about us? What's our reputation now? Is it servant of God? Follower of Jesus Christ? Worker for the kingdom? Courageous? Selfless? Are we making sacrifices? Are we making disciples? Is our service outstanding or remarkable? Or is it just average? This is convicting to me this week. Are we choice men and women for Christ? What would that label be if God had to label Chip May? Moron? Just a goober trying to get by? We have some work to do, don't we? Well, the good thing is about reputation is they can be changed, can't they? Whatever your reputation is now, it can change. What are people going to remember about you? What adjustments need to be made? Let's pray. This is your time to respond to God's word. Just take a few minutes and think about your reputation. What labels you have. And how they compare to what God wants you to be. And I want you to pray for you. I need to pray for me because I need to make adjustments myself. So quietly talk to God about you, your reputation, and let Him speak to you about how to change. Father God, we come to you, and our righteousness is like filthy rags. We try, we fail. You love us anyway, and that's comforting. And oh, how amazing is your grace. How wonderful your mercy. And yet, Father, you want us to strive for perfection. You command us to be holy for you are holy. And when we take a good look at ourselves, man, sometimes it's just not a pretty picture. We call upon you to fix us, to change us, to grow us. And Father, as we grow, let us love one another through the process. Let us encourage one another as we all try to grow and please you. Father, my prayer is that for me, for this church, we will gain the reputation of being outstanding, remarkable, not in terms of size and programs, but in terms of heart, compassion, and love for you. We love you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.